I do need help.
I mean, yes, it's not easy. Yeah? First of all, I mean, just think about how old you are and how long you have been in this kind of mess. How much of mind, you know, wherever he wants to jump, there he jumps. And now, you know, we start, you know, in a late age, you know, to try to succumb the mind. Yes. And that is, of course, not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the same way, you know. I mean, you have never had anything to do with computers. Now, if your friend says, you need a computer, you have to learn a computer, I mean, that is rather difficult, isn't it? I mean, what is this kind of machine, you know? Then Ajahn Mahabho says, you know, at my time, you know, there wasn't anything like that. You know, why should I bother with it? I don't have to learn it. But the Parikrama or the meditation, I mean, it's never time too late to learn it. The earlier we learn it, the better. Because it's not only for this life, but it's for the next life as well. If you start this life, you know, then next life, it becomes easier. So, I mean, you see all the troubles and everybody, you know, who comes here, you know, and I'm sure Alison can tell you of the problems they had, you know. She still has problems, you know, to stay with her Parikrama. I mean, it's not easy because the mind wants to go out. And images or thoughts, it's just one and the same kind. I mean, images are just visual thoughts. But they delude us. As much more than thought. So we sweep them out. I mean, the moment an image comes in, we say Buddha, and then try to remember the Buddha statue that we know. So you go up into the sala, look very closely at the Buddha statue, and then the moment you say Buddha, I mean you bring that visual image in of the Buddha statue. He stays for our teacher. For the utmost or the foremost teacher in this world, who was teaching us meditation, who was teaching us the way to liberation. So we can have faith in him, and then we can feel grateful for him. And that can all come with this image that we take into our heart. So that it will calm down all the other images. But it, of course, it is not easy. Just like I said, you know, when we learned to walk, it wasn't easy. You know, we tried to stand on our feet, you know, and we tippled over. Okay. What did we do? We tried again. What did we do? Next time we tried it again. Until 2 years later, you know, we could walk. Ah, wonderful. So there's a chance, there's a way, there's a hope that we can do all these things. But of course, when you go back to your lay life, you have to do it daily. And the best thing, what I recommend is, before you even start any kind of work, I mean, the moment you get up, you sit down and do practice. Or you do walking practice, you know, whatever is convenient, you know, you have to know where you're living. First of all, 45 minutes. Before you even start eating, just practice. Buddha, make the mind calm, 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 calm. Leave everything out. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. And the best time is actually, you know, when you wake up. Immediately when you wake up, you rise up and you sit down. Not to let, you know, not to go into that dream state that comes. So, that's the best way, you know, how to get rid of these images, yeah? So you do your Buddha, or you do your but you can also do in the morning, you know, if it's difficult to concentrate. I mean, then spread metta, loving kindness to your friends, to your family, to your parents. I mean, no matter if they are dead or not, wish them well. I mean, you can do that for 10 or 15 minutes. Wish them well, you know, wish your friends well, may they be happy, may they be free of suffering, maybe they maybe no harm comes to their life. And then include yourself. I wish myself happiness. I don't want that any harm comes to them in my life. So, and then go to the people you know. And then go to the people you don't like. And then go to the people you hate. and then spread them. You know, in the beginning, of course, you know, your voice will be crunchy, you know, I don't wish him, you know. Yes, I wish him. No, I don't wish him. Yes, I wish him happiness. No, I don't wish him happiness. I mean, that is a little bit of fight. Okay, go through that fight. Until you really can. I mean, the feeling, of course, is not as true as if it is your wife or spouse or partner or friend, you know, good friend, your body. I mean, then of course, you know, we have a lot of metta coming up, yeah? But if we think about people we do not like, you know, metta in the beginning, metta is not coming up. So we can train that. And you will see it after half a year, after a year, you can really wish them from your heart. Not that the feelings of love come up, but from your heart. Maybe they are happy. I wish they are happy. I wish they are free from suffering. I wish that they can find the fruit of their life. I wish that they do good karma. All these things we can wish for them. And that sort of thing, you know, takes out the thoughts, you know, when we come up from sleep and our mind is complete, it's not able to concentrate. I mean, after 10 or 15 minutes, we can concentrate. And then we can go to the Buddha. Buddha, 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 and wash the mind just clear. And then we can do our things, our work, and so on. I mean, having breakfast and then do our work or go and friends and so on. And the moment we come back home, the first thing that we do is to wash the mind again. I mean, forget about everything that happened that day. Just wash your mind. Bodo, 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 bodo. So, once we have done that, also 45 minutes or an hour, or maybe if you like, 1.5 hours, and then reflect about the day. Make a reflection. What have I done? What went good? What went not so good? What needs to be corrected? How can I correct it? Or what was the result? What kind of action did I do to get that unhappy result? Just a reflection. After the mind is calm. And if you have some, if you get some ideas how to correct the problem, the next day in the morning, before you start doing anyway, get up these reflections that you want to correct and say, okay, today I am very mindful about this and this. Just one thing or two things. Not too many, because otherwise you forget them. And then in the evening, on the next day in the evening, after your Buddha meditation, after you clear your mind, you reflect again about the day, and then you see if you could change anything. If you see you couldn't change anything yet, I mean, be patient. I mean, we were patient when we learned to walk. So, be patient. It doesn't go from one day to the other. Just because we have a determination not to do this again, I mean, that doesn't mean that we're not going to do it. Because actually there's another force in our heart, or in our citta, you know, that pulls us, that draws us into these unwholesome states. So, I mean, we have to fight that. And that takes a while. Sometimes it takes only a month, sometimes it might take a year. Depends on, you know, how deep it is. It just depends on how deep we have driven our car into the sand. I mean, the longer we've driven it, the more it's just difficult to pull it out. If you just notice, okay, I'm in the sand, you know, then pulling out is very easy. But all our life, we run the same track, I mean, how deep it is. So you can imagine, that's not easy. That is the best way. I mean, with this little scapula, your life will change. If you're honest, if you're determined, and if you don't let go of the daily practice. I mean, no excuse. You do your daily practice and everything else, that's fine. On the weekends, if you want to do some more, okay, that's fine. To 1 hour more in the afternoon and maybe in the evening, so that you have 3 hours or 4 hours of meditation. It helps getting us mindful. It helps being aware of the things that are going on in our life. And then in the beginning we can remove quite a lot of clutter. I mean, just the things that are so not so important, but we always thought that it's important, but you know, we reflect about it and say, oh, that's not really important, huh? And so we don't do it. Wonderful. That's a practice for lay people. And of course, you know, keep the five precepts. That's important. And then if you do that, you know, you don't have to worry about your future. Because you try, you know, to try to keep the five precepts, so you stay on safe ground. I mean, you don't go out in the moors where you can disappear. That's a safe ground, keeping the five precepts. You know, you don't jump into and die and then and go to a lower realm. No.
Is it appropriate to meditate with other people?
Yeah, sure. Yes, if it helps you. But you should not neglect to meditate for your own. I mean, do it with other people, you know, but don't neglect it to do it on your own. And you will notice it doing it on your own might be more difficult. But the results or the fruits of doing it on your own are unaccountable. But if you like to, you know, okay, you know, that is fine. Even if it's a retreat, if you do a 10-day retreat somewhere in New Zealand, you know, in a monastery or in an ashram or whatever, I mean, that is perfectly fine. And then, of course, you can't do meditation on your own. Except, you know, you are so determined, like I was, that when everybody was gone, you know, I was going back in the meditation room and I was on my own. Or in the morning when all the people were sleeping, I was sneaking out in the meditation room and did my own meditation 2 hours, you know, before the others came in. Yes. I mean, that is one good thing about Germans, you know, if they want something, you know, they put the effort in it. That necessarily doesn't mean whatever they put the effort in it is good. I mean, it can be really terrible. But, like in the Second World War, but you know, if you do something, if you put our determination effort in something good, you know, we will reach that. But of course, we have to develop it. And the people in Germany normally have developed it in their previous lives, that's why they're born in Germany. Other people, you know, if it's a lazy country, you know, they will be born in a lazy country. Other people who have good karma from generosity, I mean, they will be born in Saudi Arabia. Or I mean, what are these little states, you know, they have so much money they don't even know what to do with it. But that is because of their generosity. That's because of their previous karma. So we are born into a country because of our karma. We are born in the family because of our karma. And then, of course, you know, we have to realize, okay, that is our karma, and we are not willing to go this way any further. We are going to make a change in our life. Okay. And if people are open-minded, they might be born into America. That's one thing, you know. They are now, I mean, they don't have all this clutter of hierarchy inside. I mean, they're much, much freer. I mean, that is also, you know, one thing. Being open-minded. On the other hand, they are shallow. But, you know, also the Germans have their good qualities and their negative qualities. I mean, the Germans know everything better. I mean, wherever you go, you immediately catch a German. And if he tells you, this you should do like this and this and this, oh, you're German. You know, I mean, at least he was born, you know, even if his parents are German and he lives in New Zealand, you will notice it. I mean, that's why they are really famous for. I mean, being critical about everything else in this world except themselves. Okay, they have some good things and they have some bad things. Every one of us, huh? It doesn't matter, really. We don't have to look down on other people because, I mean, they are not as good as we. Okay, someone? Okay. question.
Different stages of development people are at. This is why we perhaps unwittingly criticize other people when they're not the same.
We criticize other people because we are dissatisfied with our own state of being. So if we criticize somebody else, you know, if we feel, you know, if we have enough rationality to criticize somebody else, or if we have enough, you know, wisdom to criticize something else, of course, that moment we feel better.
Yes.
And that is the whole reason, you know, for us, because we don't feel good at all, I mean, we need to criticize others. So that we feel better. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the newspaper. I mean, they only show us these bad things, you know, that happen in the world, and then we can say, oh, I'm not that bad. Oh, I'm not that bad. Oh, I'm not that bad. I'm really good, you know. So we don't see our own shit.
Yes. Takes the attention away from ourselves.
Yeah. Everything in this world is designed to take us away. To show us something, you know, just like, how does the advertisement work? I mean, you need this Pepsi, or you need that Coke, or you need this new brand of perfume, otherwise people won't like it. And we're so stupid enough to believe that. So we go and buy that. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. People still don't like it, even if we bought this thing. Of makeup or perfume or candy, you know, that makes our mouth so fresh, you know, that all these girls or all these men, you know, just feel attracted to us. Don't think that's funny? No. You must have had a very, very difficult life, huh?
can I ask you, Adam, during my life, since I was perhaps 10 or more, so I've had about 8 to 10 experiences where I've been walking along the road somewhere not thinking about anything, and all of a sudden I'd be completely unaware of my body, and I'd just be, and it'd be such a beautiful state. Suddenly, a few minutes later, the realization is that it's all real. I've got to carry on.
Is it all unreal or is it all real?
The material world is just not there. And yet, when the realization that it is there, I feel, I've got to carry on. And yet, I can't physically bring myself to the state. It just happens at the most unusual times. I'll be walking somewhere.
It doesn't happen in the most unusual things. It happens then when you let go of your concerns. When you let go of your thoughts and images. Either you were tired of walking and then suddenly, you know, you didn't care about anything else in this world, and then suddenly there was just walking and you see a completely different reality. That's called upachara samadhi. So if that happened for you with walking a lot, I mean, then just go and walk for 3 hours or 4 hours. And then you will see, you know, there will be a moment, and when you look at yourself, you see yourself walking and then say, I mean, who the hell is walking there? I'm not walking. I mean, you see a different reality. And that is a state of upachara samadhi, of access samadhi. I mean, it's beautiful, because all the thoughts stop as well, you know. The first thought is, you know, it's not disrupting you. What is it? There's nobody walking anymore. There's just walking. Oh, there is walking. And then there is feeling. And then even there is thought. I mean, you just see that like in a movie. Ah, wow. It's not me. It's not real. So, if it comes with walking, just try it out just right now today. Just walk for 3 or 4 hours. You have to walk for a long time. And you have to overcome tiredness. You have to overcome boredom. I mean, just go on. I mean, you are... You're quite stout. So, I mean, just do it. 3, 4, 5 hours, you know, just walk until the... I mean, everything goes away. And yet, then you will have the same experience. Now I understand why he came here.
Usually when there's no color, like it might be a gray day, I don't know if it has anything to do with it or not, but if it was a cloudy day with not much color, it seems to be the time that
What happened then? Did you see a bright light?
No, there was just... It seemed to be just consciousness only and no body. And then when I suddenly realized that I am actually walking along, and it comes crashing down that I've got to carry on through life.
And then you should ask yourself, why should I carry on? What does it bring me? The state that I just experienced, you know, it's much nicer than carry on, you know. Isn't it?
But I can't control it.
It happens because of your past. It happens because of your past practice. In your previous lives, you know, you practiced pretty well. And that is what's interesting. Then in our youth, as long as we are not completely occupied with this work, these things can happen. But then the moment, you know, raga tanha comes out, or sexual desire comes out, I mean, then it's gone. You never see that again. Until, you know, we get down and start practicing again. And now you learn it and you will get it. And it might not even take that long, you know, if you have a previous experience of it. If you have previously done it. Then just take walking meditation as your main focus, you know, and just if you can't walk, you know, just sit. I mean, it comes. Just try. But don't look for the experience. Just do your work. When you do walking, you do Buddha, 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 Buddha. Clear it all off. Don't look for the experience, because the experience you will never find. The experience that you will have, you know, will be much fresher in this moment, and it is not, most of the time, it's not the same as before, but it's similar. So if you look for something, you won't find it. But if you don't look, if you just do your work, I mean, you have to find it. It's just like the person, you know, who digs a hole. I mean, as long as he digs, you know, puts the shovel in the sand and digs it out and, you know, and throws it away at the same spot, there will be a hole. Just as a byproduct of his work. And so with us, if we constantly stay on Buddha, as a byproduct, there will be calm. And there will be happiness. And the things just disappear. So if you look, if you for expectations, you know, they don't bring us anything. They just bring us frustration. Oh, now I'm too old, I can't do that, you know, I have to wait for my next life. That's not going to happen. So some more? Go ahead. I mean, we wouldn't find our place here to this forest monastery if we haven't been in touch with Buddhism and practice. I mean, that is pretty unlikely. But if we know what the true practice is, I mean, then it's quite likely that somehow, you know, sometimes it can be the oddest circumstances, you know, that leads us here. I mean, Kaya was drawn by his angels, you know. His friend, his Thai friend brought him here. I mean, she toured around Thailand, you know, and then, you know, suddenly, you know, she popped up here.
I've been to around Thailand. I just hit the Thailand and how I land up here.
The concept of mind control is totally alien to my society.
Yes.
And this is why I'm out of step with society as such. When I first came here, you asked me why am I here? That was a very good question, but the answer was to learn, and really that's.
Yes, I mean, that is a, it's more or less a rough decision. I mean, the moment we start practicing, we have to decide against society. But that doesn't mean that we have to do it in a rigid way. We just let it fall away naturally. By doing what we ourselves think is most precious to us. And then the others, you know, either will follow us or they'll just fall away. But we have the happiness that arises in our heart. We don't feel lonely because we have something. I mean, they feel lonely. That's why they need to come to us. That's why they need to call us or call upon us. Well, how are you doing? I haven't seen you for a long time, you know. I wonder what you know, what you're up to. I mean, they, you know, their memories suddenly come up. Oh, you know, I haven't talked to this friend for a long, long time. You know, let's see. Yeah? At the moment, you know, they don't feel any more connection. I mean, they just let you go by themselves. I mean, if you're not a buddy that goes into a bar, you know, or a striptease bar, you know, then they're not interested in you anymore. In the beginning, they try to convince you that this is fun, but you know, you said, "Oh no, it's not really fun for me. I mean, I don't like this sort of thing. It upsets my heart too much." But if you like, you know, go. I mean, we don't tell them what they have to do, and they shouldn't tell us what we have to do. So we live in peace. And we don't, you know, we don't piss them off. So it's nice. We just do our things that we think, you know, it's worthwhile for us to do. And let the others let the other people do what they think that is worthwhile for them. I mean, they will come back to us. Some of them will come back to us. After a while, the moment we have changed. Say, "Hey, what are you doing? You know, that is good. You know, you look much more, I mean, you look more happy. You don't look so down anymore. Well, what are you doing?" Okay, then it's the time to talk. "Oh, I'm doing practice. I'm meditation. I'm cleaning my heart." "Ah, how do you do that?" Okay, then you can go. But if they're not interested, okay. It's a waste of energy just to talk to them. And find, you know, whenever you think you're lonely, you know, immediately go into the heart. Say Buddha, 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 until you see, you know, you're not lonely. You can do the same thing when you're angry or when you're lusty. I mean, you say Buddha, 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 and go into the heart.
Every attempt you make, for me, there's always something crops up to challenge again. And then you've got to get rid of that, and then something else got there. Perhaps I haven't been doing it for long enough, but maybe next time we speak, I might have better results.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you practice, you know, you will have better results. But one thing we should always remember, I mean, from the beginning of our practice till to the end, we still do the same kind of work. the cleansing the heart. So, there's no person you know who's an advanced in practice, or a person who's just a beginner. We don't know. It all depends, you know, on our previous life. I mean, we just can start practice, you know, after 1 year, we are much more, I mean, wiser than others. Or we are much more concentrated than others, because we have done in previous life. So, actually, you know, the time, you know, the person does it doesn't really say a thing. So if you can pull out, you know, if you can pull out your all experience, it's just like, but you know, when I used to speak French pretty well. I mean, I was quite fluent in French. But I haven't spoken it for 30 years. So now I don't even know a word. But I know the moment I go into France, after 3 months, you know, I can start picking it up again. And so is it with people who practiced before. They practice in their previous lives, this life they haven't practiced, but you know, after 3 months or 6 months or maybe a year, they pick up on their old, okay, and then it becomes easier. But to get to this point, you know, of course it is difficult. And if I always think, you know, oh, you know, 30 years ago I knew French so good, you know, I just could communicate with everybody. And now I can't, you know, I don't even know what to say, you know, I don't even know the French words anymore. I mean, I just frustrate myself. But, you know, just living and hearing and reading, you know, it just gives me, just, you know, brings the things back. So just practicing the way that I described, you know, your daily practice, I mean, brings the way things back. And then if you have the occasion to walk, you know, to take long walks, then just do the Buddha walk. I mean, you can go from A to B, you don't have to go up and down, but you can go from A to B. If you don't lose your Buddha, that's fine. Then use that. If you wait for the bus, use it. If you're on the plane, use Buddha. Whatever you do, you know, don't read these things, you know, because they are disturbing. I mean, all these magazines, newspapers, don't listen to radio, because they're all disturbing, bring up old memories, you know, and then we get angry. I mean, how often is it that we get angry when we read something in the newspapers? How often is it that we get angry, you know, when we hear some news? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just pulling our triggers. I mean, in the beginning we avoid this. We want to get calm. And once we get calm, you know, we can investigate what is pulling our triggers.
Action and reaction.
Yes, and we are so easy to react, huh?
Yes.
And that's what that's where we have to have this determination. Huh? I mean, grind your teeth, bite your tongue before you say anything that is unhealthy.
Take a deep breath.
Yes, take a deep breath or take Buddha or whatever, you know. Or go to the toilet and relieve yourself. And once you get up from the toilet, I mean, the world has changed. I mean, it's so amazing, I mean, that this effect of a toilet. I mean, having a really good dump, you know. I mean, it's not only dumping the shit, you know, the physical shit, but it's also dumping some of the mental shit. I mean, that's where the people had the brilliant, most brilliant ideas. Scientists or musicians on the toilet. Because in that moment they let go of their shit. And that moment they let go of their shit, they let go of all the worries that have about, you know, what they thought about it. And then it comes through. I mean, all the work of 20 years suddenly comes through. Poops! Ow! Oh, there it is, you know. Then they feel relieved, you know. Get up from the toilet and write down, you know, the relativity theory. Or whatever. That's the point of letting go. So if you have some really big problems, just go to the toilet. Get rid of this shit.
Winston Churchill had all this apparently inspiration while he's in the bath with a cigar.
Yeah. I mean, that's also relaxing. Yeah. I mean, relaxing the body means also relaxing the chitta.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, if the chitta is relaxed, the body is never tense. But most of the times, you know, the chitta is so tense that the body gets tense. The moment we relax the body, you know, we really take a deep breath, or we take a bath, or we take a shit. I mean, automatically also the chitta will be released. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that have that effect? Wonderful. You know, just go. I mean, I just invite you till Friday evening or till Saturday morning. I mean, do a lot of walking meditation and try that. Huh? And maybe you get some results. Maybe you get some good results. And when I see you on Friday, and I want to hear some of the good results. Huh? It doesn't mean need to be a big enlightenment. Just, you know, just something that you understood. I mean, for me, the life of a monk is such a beautiful thing. I can't even dream of, you know, going back into this world. I mean, I've never been so happy in my whole life. But of course, you know, it wasn't easy, you know, it's a struggle. I mean, in the beginning it was a very harsh struggle, and now the longer you stay in ropes, you know, the easier the struggle becomes. I mean, for some. For others it gets more difficult because they don't have the basis of practice. They don't have any place, they don't find the place in their heart where they can relax. And of course, if I can't find that, you know, after 20 years I'm completely frustrated and I have to take off my rope. Because I was looking never in the right direction. I was always looking out, you know. This person did that unto me, that person did that unto me. What an unfair, you know. Except of telling yourself, I mean, I must have been a load of shit, you know. Just looking at what the other people do unto me. I must have done that unto them. Now, that would be helpful. No, but we feel so sorry for our poor self. Huh? Isn't it? If people put us down, oh, I'm so sorry for myself. And then we run to our good friend and tell him what all these bad things the other people told about us. And then they say, comforting, yes, 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 you know. And then it makes us even more depressed. Isn't it? Instead of, you know, running to a good friend who says, oh, you don't see that? That's what you have done unto others before. Now it's coming back, you know. Just be happy and say, okay, now I can take it, yeah? That's the false friends and the good friends. The false friends make us feel even more sorry. And the good friends, you know, make us realize, you know, the way that we view things is wrong. That's why a teacher is called a good friend. He makes us see things in a perspective that we can understand and we can accept. So the acceptance is sometimes rather difficult. But, I mean, we can do it. If somebody just comes forth and says, yes, this world is so bad and it's so bad. I mean, that doesn't help us. Just get out of our state.
My Thai friend used to say, it's a Thai saying, that you do good in this life, people come back. If you do bad, you don't have to wait till the next life. It'll come in this life as well.
Yes, and it's the same as good, you know. Some of the good comes back in this life, and some of the good comes back in the next life. Some of the bad comes back in this life, and some of the bad comes back in the next life. Mm. But most of the things that we experience at that very moment is coming from, mostly from the previous life. Not all, but mostly. So, hello there. Hello, there you are. Oh, wow, you are heavy. Okay, I ducked. Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I've gone. Ah. Next time. But in the beginning, it hits us, you know, and it throws us to the floor. Oh, wow, that was heavy. And then we get up. And say, oh. Actually, nothing has happened. I mean, I still have my hands and I have my feet and everything is still intact. Yeah? So what was that that actually put me so down, you know? Made me so miserable. So we crawl back to our legs, you know, just like with a little child, you know, and then get up again, you know, and then the next bump hits us. But if we experience it, you know, after a while, you know, well, okay. Duck and go, duck and go, duck and go. I mean, that's what I so much love about the teachings of the Lord Buddha. It makes life so understandable, so explainable, so reasonable. And if you accept his reasons, if you accept his rationality, I mean, then life becomes easy. I mean, you don't have to go to what is it called? To the court, you know, to fight for justice. I mean, you know, that's your own problem. I mean, I've put that onto me. Yeah. What the hell, you know? Let that person get away with it. I mean, he will have the same karma as I'm having right now. I mean, and that is not good. So you can actually feel very sorry for him. Mm-hmm. Instead of running to the court, you know, and try to fight him. Because you know, what he did unto you, that is not very nice. I mean, you feel really, you really feel broken, or you feel dissatisfied, or you feel angry. And then you know, oh, but he's doing that to me, so that will come back to him. Mm. Oh boy, this poor guy. Yeah. Because I have a way to deal with it. He might not even have a way to deal with it. So, who's luckier? You! In each case, you know. There's no exception to it. And that is, you know, that makes life so easy, you know. So, I mean, it's then, you know, you just pull the thread. I mean, it just goes that way. You're in charge of it. But at the moment, you're not in charge of it. Somebody else is in charge of it. You know, I have confidence. I mean, I want this, you know. If you don't get me, you know, I will make you suffer. And the Krishna is telling us that. That's why we are not at the top, you know.
In the Christian church where I live, there seems to be no personal discipline like Buddhism, like the Buddhist faith.
Yeah.
Like, people go to church on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
a few that we've seen now anyway,
mm-hmm.
And there's no, there's the Ten Commandments which you're expected to keep in this type of thing, but there's no personal regulation of the rules like there is in the Buddhist faith. This is what is so different.
Mm-hmm.
So different. And such a challenge. Such a challenge.
I mean, nowadays, especially in the church, are afraid to tell the commoners, I mean, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that, because then they run away. They don't like to hear that. So that's why they don't tell them anymore. But Buddhists always will tell them. If you do this, this will happen to you. If you do that, that will happen to you. If you go against the precepts, you will go down to hell. I mean, all your friends will be there, so you don't worry.
I'm also one of them,
huh?
I'm also one of them.
Huh?
I'm also one of them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have all been to hell, you know.
No, no, I do date lah. Status is there. To date. It's at today.
Huh?
Doesn't matter.
Did you understand that? Because I didn't. And of course this will happen in the same way in the Buddhist circles. People, I mean Buddhist teachers, who really depend on the laity, who really want, you know, meditation teachers who need the donation, I mean they are very unlikely to say things that upsets the people. And just one thing that upsets the people is, I mean if you don't keep the precepts you go to hell. Ah, the next thing, you know, if they are a little bit more advanced, if you know, if they know that already, then you tell them, you know, look at the body, look at the loathsomeness of your body. And then they might start looking at it, you know, and they get very, very, very angry. And they say, no, that's not right, you know. And they won't come to you anymore. So you don't get the money. I mean, if you don't have the money, you cannot live. So you depend on them. And because you depend on them, you are much more likely to say the things that they want to hear. And that's where the crux is. Or that's where the catch-22 is. You never will say them the truth. But I'm free. So I can say the people, you know, the truth. I'm not dependent. If people don't give me anything, you know, I die. I don't care. Because I have lived my life. Yeah. I mean, that is for me so clear. You know, if people don't like me, or if they don't support me, you know, it's their problem, it's not mine. I mean, they kill a good friend. Like the Lord Buddha said, they kill a friend, you know, who's a Kalayanamita, a spiritual friend, who tells you what is right and what is wrong. I mean, you should never kill that friend. I mean, you should get rid of your false friends who constantly comfort you. Yes, what you're doing is right. Yes, what you're doing is right. Yes, going to a bar, you know, is right. Yes, yes, having a mere noi. Yes, having an affair outside of your... is okay. You know, everybody does it. You know, how can it not be okay? Of course it is okay, you know, because all these people will go to hell. In that sense, it is okay. But if he's a spiritual friend and he knows about these things, he will warn you. He said, I wouldn't do that. I mean, you know, the sun is hot, you know, if you're too long in the sun, you know, you get a sunburn, you know, and oh, it's very uncomfortable. Huh?
Mahabhur says, learn to live with a little.
Mm-hmm.
And that good advice, especially for in the material world, because we want this, we want that,
mm-hmm.
and all these things, we're slaves to all these mm-hmm. extra things we get.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back in my life, and the happiest times, I think, was when I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And only a suitcase full of clothes and a vehicle, and no worries.
Yes, of course, yes. I mean, even now that I've gathered so many things as a monk, the moment I leave, I just take the vital things and go. I mean, I just don't care what is going. But of course, the first time when I left into the homelessness, I mean, the decision was painful, but you know, I thought it was right. Okay, here, my friends, I mean, take whatever you want. I mean, it's yours. Are you crazy? I said, no, I'm not crazy. Take whatever, you know. Oh, these are so, you know, priceless, huh? Okay, take it. I mean, I don't need it anymore because it just litters my spiritual path. So everybody, after a while, everybody took whatever he wanted. So. And I remember one story of my father, you know, who was in the war. And then, while you're in the war, you know, I mean, you gather this. I mean, you have your tornister. How do you call it, tornister? I mean, your backpack. Soldier's backpack. I mean, you gather extra pair of socks. You gather, you know, some medicine and this and this and this. And it becomes heavier and heavier and heavier. And then he said, you know, that he was in a fight, in a combat with the enemy, and he lost everything. And he felt so free. I mean, I don't have to worry about this, and I don't have to worry about that. You know, I've got everything that I need, actually. You know, I get my food, you know, every day. And so. I mean, that's freedom, you know, having little, you know, and don't have to worry about. I mean, people who are rich, you know, they constantly have to look at the stock market. I mean, and this, you know, the stock, you know, just drops by one per mil, you know, and they're worried. They're down. What is it? Numbers, you know? A thief comes into and robs them of all these precious things. What do you do with this precious thing? You know, if you have a vase here that is from the 16th or 12th century, all the things, that you can look at it. I mean, you can't eat it. It has not even value, you know, to eat it, you know. You look at it three times and then then you don't see it anymore. But the moment it's gone, oh, my God. Yes, that's how we attach to it. And it's a freedom. And that what is, I have to admit, it's just difficult as a monk, you know, in the beginning. We don't, because the Kilesas want this and want that, you know, and other people get this and get that, you know. When I looked at the bowl of my other friend, you know, he had all this delicious stuff in my bowl there was just a little bit. Of course I got dissatisfied, and then, you know, and then I had to deal with it. I had to work on it. And, you know, after a few years, I looked at it, you know, he had the most delicious food, and I just had plain rice and some vegetables and some fruit. I was satisfied. It didn't really matter to me. It didn't really matter to me what I got to eat, you know, as long as my stomach is full, you know, it's fine. That's why I eat in the first place, because I'm hungry. Not I'm lusty for this taste and that taste, because I'm really hungry.
And again, in my country, where people can afford it, if they have a house to live in,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they have a holiday house, like what they call a batch, or down in South Island, called a crib.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it might be a little dwelling like this,
mm-hmm.
with no power,
mm-hmm.
no water. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, 2 weeks at the end of the year, when mm-hmm. everybody has their annual holidays, they go to the little batches if they can afford it.
Yeah.
And they come back and say they had such a good time because they had absolutely nothing there.
Uh-huh.
And no electricity, nothing else to worry about.
Yeah.
And I see the similarity here.
Yeah.
Whereby we can do without these things and get...
Just wait a few months, you know, and then...
Yeah.
I mean, for 2 weeks, you know, it's fine. I mean, why do people go camping and they enjoy it so much?
Yeah.
Because it's a very simple way of life.
Yeah.
But if they have to camp for the whole year, I mean...
yes.
I mean, it's a length of time.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, if they go to their little, what is it called, Dutch, or whatever you call it, after 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, the Kilesas come in. Oh, I want my cooker. I want this, and I want that, and I want that. And I at home I have it, so why not going home, you know, and then they go home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So, but as a monk, you know, I live in this kind of very simple environment for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as long as people come here only for a week or 2 weeks, oh, that's wonderful. You know, I could live the same life, no?
Yes.
The moment they are here 3 months, you know, they disappear. They can't. Because the Kilesas say, no, I want this. Oh, I just want to go to town. I don't want to tell this him that I want to go to town because he might not say, you know,
yeah.
that I'm allowed to. So, freedom.
Escape.
Escape. Yes. Escape from freedom.
But the Kilesas follow us everywhere.
Yeah. We escape the freedom and follow the Kilesas. who was that psychology professor who wrote that book, Escape from Freedom? He was a German, but from. Yeah, yes. He was teaching in Chicago. I mean, it was a fantastic book. We escape from our own freedom and then go back to the herd, you know, that is ruled so much, you know, by all these laws and all this, you know, hick and hack. And yeah. I mean, just people, you know, just being somewhere in a cave, you know, not meeting anybody, that is freedom for me. But others, even if they are trained, you know, they can't take that experience. I mean, they go nuts. I mean, if something changes, you know, if something comes up, you know, and they get very angry or very dissatisfied, and then they have to leave. Yeah. I mean, because we can't find, you know, our inner sampa, our inner riches. That's why, I mean, the moment we are in an isolated area or in a frightful area, and normally isolated areas when we are alone, people don't go. Only for a few. I mean, few of the hunters, you know, who went into isolated areas for months, huh? But in their previous lives, they might have been ascetics. That's why they can live there. That's why they enjoy it, because of the quietude and not being bothered by other people. But if they have not been practicing asceticism in the previous life, I mean, they couldn't have, you know, survived in this life. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy, and I've seen it. Also with monks, you know. Oh, wonderful, you know, this cave, you know, and there's 2 days there and they're gone. The first day, oh, that is so wonderful, that's so great, that's so peaceful, you know. 3 days later, they're gone. Can't, you know, they can't stay with themselves, because that's what they experience. If they're alone, the only one they have to face is themselves. And what they see is not to their liking. So they go. Okay, so.
Is this why we have so much TV? People want to have the TV on all the time because they can't live with themselves?
Yes.
Because they need all this extra. But all it does is damage their heart anyway. But.
I mean, people live with their books. I mean, intellectual people just live on their books. I mean, they don't need other people, but they need their books. If you take the books away, you know, they're lost. They don't even know how to relate to the world anymore. But that is not true with us. If we find ourselves, I mean, we can relate. So, you take away their books, and, you know, just look at the people around you. Eh? Just sit with them. Quiet for a minute, 2 minutes. You don't have to say anything. But they sure, you know, they cannot stand that silence. So they have to say something. And that's why they have constantly to put on, I mean, the first thing is when people come and visit you, you turn off the TV, you turn off the radio, everything so it's quiet, and then just say, hello, and then sit there, you know. And I mean, you can see that, you know, they get restless, you know. can you give me a tea or can you give me a glass of water, you know, and then they start trying to make contact. You just sit there and you just observe. If you have enough self-discipline. Hmm?
Amen.
That's what the people are trying. That's why they like to go into loud and noisy places. That's where they don't feel lonely. That's why they have a partner, because they don't seem to feel lonely. And that's why their life is so full of activity. I mean, look at the calendars, you know. I mean, at a day, you know, they have 5 or 6 days. Oh, I have to meet them at this time, and that person at that time, you know, this person called me just now. I have to write this, or I have to do this, I have to do this. And then we don't have time for ourselves. And that's what is called a workaholic. He doesn't want to look, you know, he doesn't want to face him up. I mean, he can be a workaholic or he can be an alcoholic. I mean, it doesn't matter as long as it's holic, you know.
That's me, I've been a workaholic too.
Yeah, that's of course. My father as well. We watched him, you know, the moment he went out of work, you know, he turned to alcohol. And then he said, his kids said, not good. You become an alcoholic, huh? Yeah? Just because you can't deal with it, you know, just make something out of your life, huh? use the things, use your skills that you had in your work in Auckland. I mean, for your grandchildren. And when he started doing that, you know, and slowly, you know, he got out. Until in the end, you know, he realized, I don't actually have to do anything. I mean, but it's difficult. I mean, people, most of the people will have the problems as they stop working. Yeah. They can't, you know, they just can't deal with themselves, you know, their whole environment. I mean, am I now useless? Am I now worthless? You know, nobody respects me anymore. Get out of my way, you old pensioner. Yeah, I'm in a hurry, I have to work, I have to earn money. You're just, you know. But also the old people, you know, want to be heard, you know, they want to be related to. Because actually what they did was the same thing they do right now. Isn't it? And that's why they're constantly getting our way. Because they want to be, you know, they want to be part of the society, but actually we kick them out. We really kick them out. The society kicks out people, you know, who don't work anymore. They go to old people's home. And they, mostly, hopefully, with a fence, big fence, you know, electric wire fence, so that they don't get out. And don't disturb us. And 2 years before, you know, we get out, we think about that, oh. And then we might regret it, because that is just coming up, no? Getting into the old people's home. Our kids kick us out, you know. Oh, what do you want here, you know? That's only for young people. So that's why it's so important. And that is not happening, you know. It's hardly happening in a Thai society. Because people, you know, who laid off work, or sometimes, you know, when they educated their children, they recheck and go to the monastery and spend the rest of their life in the monastery. Men try to practice, or at least try to help. I mean, if they can't practice, you know, they just try to help with the work that is around the monastery, just live in the monastery. And that's where they're useful. It's useful for them, and it's useful for the society or for the monastery. And the women do the same thing. Okay, let's go to the monastery and at least cook some food for them. So they do good. And then they are not in the way of their younger. And even can invite the youngest to come to the monastery so that they get a feeling for it. And that is the social aspect of Buddhism. When you see it like that in time, I mean, it has good functionality. When people get old, and they feel dissatisfied with the life because the life is rushing around them, you know, and they can't understand it. I mean, they go in a place where the life doesn't move on, and that is always a monastery. There's no life, you know, not in the sense of the outside life. So if they're happy with that. But of course in Thailand it's not so difficult for old people, because old people are still respected. What is not happening in the West? I mean, a youngster just coming from university has more value than an experienced engineer. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, everything that is based on experience, we just disrespect. I mean, just 200 years ago, you know, the head of a family, you know, was the wisest person, and whenever somebody, because he lived the longest time, he had the most life experience. So everybody went to him and asked him about his opinion, you know, should I do this or should I do that? Or should I plant now, you know? I mean, if he was a farmer. And he knew it because he had so many years, you know, of life experience. And he experienced this kind of weather or this kind of situation, that kind of situation, and he knew, okay, maybe you try this, no, no, that is not good. But now, when our friend says, or older people say, ah, what do you know? I mean, you haven't even gone to university, what do you know? Isn't it? That's just the situation. And so we are really, I mean, the Western society is really in a bad shape. It's really a very, very bad shape. Not counting on life experience anymore. Not counting on social values. Because our social values diminished even further. I mean, at the beginning we lived as a family together. Now, I mean, even if mother and father are still living together, I mean, the children are out of the house. They're having their own family, you know, and then after 2 years they can't stand each other anymore. I mean, then the child goes from one parent to the other. I mean, isn't that... just to think about it, you know, I feel so sorry for these. And how do they grow up? They don't know... These children, they don't know any values at all. They don't have a family value, they have no... I mean, they just go ahead and kill somebody, you know, without any regret whatsoever. Because, I mean, who cares?
In the early mornings of the TV programs that you see, you know, I've been to several countries, and even in Thailand here, you will see, I think the programs are designed to get the woman's attention while she's doing the housework in the morning, perhaps. And all you see is conflict between a male and a female arguing with each other about something or other, whether it's in English or Thai. And all this is designed to break down family values and split the families up. And I believe all this is just, satanic. It's what we call satanic influence coming from many, many sources.
No, it's not satanic influence. It's the influence of the Kilesas. I mean, they can control people much better if they are alone. I mean, just like, if you have a good friend, you know, if you have me as your friend who tells you, you know, what is right and what is not right, and you still like to with me, the Kilesas have a very difficult time with you in getting you. But if they can convince you that I'm a bad guy, I mean, then you go on your own and they can do whatever they want with you. So if you have a wife, I mean, that still says, if you have a partner that still sometimes says to you, hey, what did you do? That wasn't really nice, that it wasn't really kind. I mean, he has to let go of his wishes, you know, in order to keep the family peace. And the Kilesas don't like that. So they say, this partner is shit. I mean, he's a shithead, or he's an airhead, or he doesn't even know anything. You know, I go and have a next one. It's not satanic. I mean, there is a devil, but you know, the devil normally doesn't bother about us. He bothers about the people who want to go out of his realm. There where he comes in. But as long as they're in his realm, I mean, he doesn't bother about X and Y. I mean, he's not concerned about it because they're constantly there. I mean, they just follow their own rules. He goes to the people, you know, who really are determined to get out of his influence. That's why he went up to see the Lord Buddha and tried to seduce him. But he didn't buy into that. He said, Maya, I know you. I mean, you're just there. I mean, there's nothing else in Maya. Illusion. I mean, the devil and illusion are very close to each other. Satanic in this way, it really does not exist. I mean, I wouldn't use that term. I would use, you know, the temptator. The illusionist. Who tries to tempt us. I mean, that is much better. I mean, satanic is just evil, and evil is wherever we are. He tries to do, you know, he tries to tempt us to do evil, to do not good. Because, you know, if we do not good, that keeps us longer under his influence. And the more we do bad, the longer we are under his influence. And he knows that. So that's why he tempts us to do bad and bad and bad and bad. And we are so stupid in believing. Yes, my Lord. I follow you. I have to break up with my partner. Or I have, you know, I have to kick out my children. Or the children say, I have to kick out my parents because my father constantly tells me what to do and not to do. I don't like to hear that. And the Kilesas don't like to hear that, what to do and what not to do. And you know that. And the moment you sit down and say, Buddha, 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 the Kilesas don't like that. Don't they? It's not the devil. That comes later. If he even comes. Okay?